Primorphine's mouth off my cock, man. That was a major feat in itself.
As we sit, do you want to bury the straight people?
I want to hear the funeral march for the straight people.
Straight people funeral song, please. And the straight people.
We could go all night like this, but we only have till 11. And then a big black motherfucker's gonna throw all your white asses out.
We're gonna get you!
Turn it off!
Please let me go and do my thing. Laura, please. Right on, you're hot. Can we get some more lights down here? I'm half blind, I'm only half male, and half drunk. Alright. Hi. My name is Henry Rollins. And I don't want to use the stage because I was just up there a few weeks ago and I got it greasy enough, so I'm just gonna get down with my own thing down here. You guys didn't get a chance to really get any information on that guy Emilio who came out and introduced Lydia. And I don't even know if any of the people introduced who he was at all, but he lives in New York and he does some stuff with Lydia, and I got a chance to see him. I did a show with him and Lydia and all these people in East Village in New York in 1984. And that dude came out on stage with this big roll of toilet paper around his neck with all this shit all over it. And he would tell all these really nasty stories about, like, fucking little girls and stuff. And he's like this, the pyramid crowd, and they weren't all that into it. They're going, oh. And every time they bum out, he tears off these big rolls of toilet paper and just hears you fucking break here, shove this down your throat. He was just fucking great. But, and he flew over, and you got to hear about 2 minutes of him, but if you ever get a chance, you should hear the full throbbing 14-inch version. I'm not going to get as much time as I'd like to tonight. I usually like to go real long, you know, but tonight I have to do the 7-inch edit. So I guess I'm not going to go into the philosophical shit. I'm just going to go right to the meat. I haven't been late for like 110 days, which leads me to the part about feeding off. A lot. Okay, I know a lot of you guys are probably really uptight about the subject of masturbation. And I don't like to use that word, because I'm really at one with this shit, you know? Lenny Bruce called it stroking off, or I like this beating off, because it's male, you know? Lydia really took the wind out of my sails, because I'm really all into the, I'm a bomb, I'm going to explode, I'm into all that kind of shit, and now I feel like an asshole for going, oh, I'm going to explode! So, I haven't had any sex, I haven't touched a girl for 110 days. I think it's like 113 now, and I'm not like some big sex maniac like people might think. But no one thinks that, not even me anymore. But anyway, I've been laid for about 159 days, or is it 200 now? But anyway, straight on to the subject of masturbation, I really got, you know, I'm doing it like, you know, 11, 12 times a day now. But I really try to get in more innovative with the beating off thing, okay? I've been in Europe since August 5th. I've been with you. I've gone through 13 countries doing the rock and roll, you know, party down, cocaine, mama all night thing. And it ended here on this wonderful platform. And I didn't get laid that night either, and I almost didn't get paid. Only kidding, it rhymes. But anyway, I really had to come up with innovative and new creative ways to beat off. Because the same, you know how it is, guys, we all know how it is. We've all strummed that big E chord, you know? The ivory soap, or whatever you guys use here, the sink, the running water. And you guys know that you have to use cold water is the only way you can get the cum off the hair on your fingers, huh? Right. And see, you only have to get it off your hands, man. What if there's some girl trying to untangle that stuff from yourself and then go to work, go to class? You know, imagine going to UCLA campus and going like, oh man, that fucking asshole, God. You know, so anyway, I started doing it in gas station men room stalls. And like, there'd be guys in the band, you know, taking a dump in the thing next to me, and they wouldn't know what I was doing, you know. So anyway, of course, you know, you have an image in your mind when you're beating off. Girls, I don't know what you girls do. Maybe you ride horses or something, right? But anyway, I would come up with all these different ways to see if I can make different things happen. So, you know, I'm left-handed, that's fine. And so, say I'm in the hotel, and going for it in the sink. Okay, new woman, Woody Allen. Ugh! God, man! Something, one of your guts go, hey, Lou! Or like, Daryl Hannah, Madonna, Adolf Hitler! Your cum will do a right turn and like try to run back up your dick. Please don't make us go out to that, man. You're throwing us into a sink, we go down the drain, we never get seen again. We don't even get to the real thing and you're saying Adolf Hitler to us. Come on, man, don't bum the millions out. Don't bum out the masses. Yeah, I got a lot of true things about beating off. You guys, you beat off in the shower, use the hot water. You have to be really careful to make sure it all goes down the drain so the person after doesn't slip and kill himself. Or your girlfriend who you don't like anymore, so you beat off when she's not around because it's more enjoyable than, you know, that situation, which I used to do, man. I had this girlfriend and, how come you never want to do it? These calluses, I like myself better. You don't wash and you're a drag. Oh, look at that, look. You can see that. But you guys know how the cum and the hair boils together with the hot water, and after a week, say you live alone, you're living in the dorm room with the guys, you're living in a squat with all the punkers and everything, man, and you punkers are always jerking it, man. So anyway, think of the mass that, it's like it looked like a ginseng root. After like 2 weeks, you just pull that thing out of the drain like Medusa's head. Ah! Totally out of sight. Okay. On a more serious note, well, that beating off thing is awful serious. Especially now, man. God, I've become an expert at it. I went to an all-boys school from age, from grade 7 to 12. I don't know what that means to all of you. Maybe from about age 13 to age 19, I went to an all-boys military school, and like, they don't teach you anything about sex or anything. I didn't even know about jerking off until I was about 17 and a half. Until the lady at the cafeteria says, oh, Hannah, you probably jerk off all the time, don't you, boy? You know, it's always so wild and shit. And I go, no, I don't. She goes, you're a sack of shit lie. You lie like a motherfucker. You lie like a goddamn rug. You jack off. I know you jack off. Right, really, I don't. And then I went home and I tried it. I found out there's a whole new thing going on down there. Anyway. Yeah, I live in Los Angeles about 8 minutes a year when I'm not out here with you all. And I'm listed in the phone book. I figured, what the fuck, man, you know? I don't have my home address in there because of bombs and bullets and all that, but I do got my phone number in there. And so I figure, you know, what the fuck, if someone really needs me, they can call me, you know? If Daryl Hannah, you know, Jackson Brown might leave her. Of course, I'm right, being, you know, I'd be the first choice. I'm under R, so I get lots of phone calls around 11 p.m. midnight on. I get phone calls every once in a while, and a lot of them I get from really, really fucked up people, and a lot of times I end up talking to them for, you know, between 10 minutes or an hour, and it usually, sometimes it can be very, very intense. These people are way out there, and it ruins my night because you hear about these stories, man. I took some notes. Sometimes the stories are so heavy duty that I'm just writing down notes while I'm listening because it's just unbelievable. So anyway, I'm just gonna, I got a few things on paper about some of these girls who call me. And the girls are way more interesting than the guys, because the guys never tell you anything, they're so uptight, but the girls just really let it out there. I get calls from crazy girls late at night, usually after midnight. They sound far away, like from some other planet. The other night, one calls from a home in Orange County. She tells me her parents put her there because they don't want to see her anymore. She says her older brother tells her she's stupid and she believes him. She feels bad. She starts to cry on the phone. She says her older brother goes out with a girl that got named Ms. Huntington Beach. She says, he says I'm ugly and I believe him. And then she says, am I ugly? I say, no, you're not ugly. You're not ugly at all. And she says her brother's a big fan of mine and he won't believe that she and I are talking on the phone at 2:33 a.m. She tells me that she lives with a lot of other kids, strangers. She sleeps in a ward with them, a tough, weird reality, 12 and a half years old. She asks if she can call me again sometime, and I tell her she can call me anytime she wants, and I don't care what time it is. She says that I made her feel much better. She says goodnight and hangs up. I lie on the floor and look at the ceiling. I can't sleep. I try to imagine what she looks like. Times like this make me want to forget everything I know. She called me from a loony bin out in the sticks. Tells me about getting strapped down. Tells me about the needles. Tells me about how she's getting better. She can't feel it, but they're telling her that she's doing better all the time. I can see her now, shit in her pants. The men coming in and screwing electrodes into her head. Getting better. She gets on the phone and tells me all about it. I think of lab rats. I can smell shit. I look at the phone. I put my ear back to it and listen to another planet talking to me. I think of bright lights, white sheets, drugs, people getting better, the smell of shit, this girl, this stranger calling me in the middle of the night. A girl called me once. She told me about all the times in the home. Delinquent girls, runaway girls, how she learned to eat pussy the hard way, how she woke up one morning to find her roommate had hanged herself in the night right across the room from her, the urine on the floor in a puddle. She said that she better hang up. She said if she didn't, she wouldn't be able to stop talking, and it says it gets her upset. Nah, I got this one other psycho girl story, but I got a better psycho girl story. Right before I came out here in August to be with you all, I was in a studio doing a project with some people, and I get a phone call. It's this guy named Randy, who's a promoter in New Jersey. That's where I was at. He goes, hey, you hear what happened to Deirdre, who's a cook at the local club who I've known for years. She's a really cool girl. And I said, no, what happened to Deirdre? He goes, man, she tried to kill herself, and she's in the psych ward at Mercer, and she really wants to talk to you. Would you call her? I said, yeah, I'll call her, sure. So I call her on the phone, and I get the hospital room number, and she goes, I go, hey, this is Rollins. She goes, no, it's not. No, it can't be Rollins. I go, yeah, it's Rollins, no problem. I call him, you know, and she's like, no, I've been having dreams about you. It can't be you. I need to talk to you so much, I know it can't be you. I go, no, fuck you, it's me. So anyway, I said, look, I want to come and see you. She goes, yeah, okay. And I said, how'd you kill yourself? Or almost kill yourself. And she says, well, I don't want to talk about it because there's this lady next to me and I don't want to talk about it. Why don't you come down here? And today is the day they either let me out or they put me in the loony bin. And I said, okay, I'm going to come down. So I went down there and right when I got there, the doctors decided to let her out. And she called her mom and dad and she said, come and get me. I got my friend Rollins with me. Don't be scared of him. Because they're like, you know, kind of uptight looking. I might look a little far out to some straight parents, you know. So I'm sitting with this girl on her bed, and I haven't seen her for a long time. She's got bruise marks right above her tits and on her neck and on her wrists and on her legs. And she's got all these needle holes where they've been sticking her. And I go, where'd you get all the bruises? She goes, well, she went into convulsions, and these two black guys had to restrain her. And they had to stand on her for so long with their knees that they just put all these bruise marks into her. So I said, why'd you kill yourself? And she said, well, I got in a car accident and now I can hardly use this part of my body. And my boyfriend left me and I lost my job because I can't work anymore because my arm is fucked up and I couldn't find a reason to live. So I got out some medical books and I researched a good, safe way to kill yourself without feeling too much pain. I researched it for 3 weeks. I went out and I got the drugs and I took them. And so what happened was she wiped out on all these pills, drank a glass of iced tea, and sat down on the floor and waited to kick. So she's going into convulsions, and her mom comes in and goes, what are you doing? She says, I'm dying, leave me alone. And her mom goes, well, what the fuck? Let's call an ambulance. So she calls an ambulance, and the ambulance guys come in, and Deirdre goes, I don't want to go. I want to die. And the guy goes, you really want us to leave? And she goes, yeah. So the ambulance guy goes, all right, sign this piece of paper, and we'll leave. So she signed it, and they left. So old Deirdre goes into a comatose state, and her mom throws her in the back of the car and follows the ambulance back to the hospital. And there's old Deirdre with all these holes in her and bruises and can't even find a way to live, and she wants to talk to me about it. And I don't know what to tell the girl. And so she goes, hey, be cool about my parents. You know, they're going to be nervous to meet you, and this is going to be a weird situation. I said, cool, you know, no problem. So the parents come. They look like they're from Miami. The mom got this high, stretch pants, you know, like might have the pink poodle, really gross, like ugly Americana, David Byrne nightmare, out to here. And the dad looks like a shrunken, emaciated version of like Adolf Eichmann. And he's arthritic in one side, like, ah, nice to meet you, Henry. And I'm like holding his hand so I don't hurt him. And like, the parents are really, really uptight, really tense, because they're in this ward. Their daughter's had to kill herself. There's this bald dude with tattoos sitting on the bed, you know, leering at him. And it's a bad situation. So mom goes, well, honey, we brought your favorite clothes for you to change into. She looks at the clothes. I don't like these fucking clothes. She throws them across the room. And I go, Deirdre, would you relax? Your parents are really doing the best they can to try and handle this situation. Why don't you just be cool? She goes, well, my father's a bastard. And I go, no, he's not. Look at him. He's a poor, shriveled up little guy. He's doing the best he can. Go easy on the guy, you know? It could have been him. She goes, no, he's not. He's a bastard. So anyway, we all pile out of the hospital, and she's cussing and throwing shit and getting all crazy. And so we all get in the car. We go to the family house, and me and Deirdre go up to her room. And I go in there, and three out of the four walls have Marilyn Monroe, all head to toe, Marilyn Monroe, pictures, cutouts, figurines, bubble bath, books, everything on Marilyn Monroe, and the fourth wall is all pictures of me. Oh, God, man, this is just too weird. And there's this glass of iced tea on the table. I go, what's that? She goes, oh, that's the iced tea I drank down the pills when I tried to kill myself. And I'm going, here, let's get out of here. Let's go for a change of scenery. And so we went out driving in her car, and I said, so why did you try and kill yourself? And she said that she couldn't find a reason to live anymore. And I'm trying to do my best, you know, Bono box, you know, pep talk, you know, come on, girl! Because, you know, she's a cool girl. She shouldn't be dying, and no one should feel like they want to die, you know? No one that young. She's only like 22, and she's beautiful, and, you know, we're ugly people shouldn't feel like they want to die either, but, like, but, yeah. And poor people and black people, man! But you hear so much talk, I'm gonna kill myself, man, I'm so self-destructive, I'm gonna kill myself, fuck it, man! But then you meet a few people who really go for it. And they are so devoid of bullshit, man. You know, maybe what got them to that point was all bullshit, but someone who really goes for it, you've gotta have some respect for. Especially a beautiful, blonde, 22-year-old girl who looks to me has every reason to live. Anyway, I said, why do you hate your old man so much? And she said, well, when I was young, he beat me so severely that I can't have kids now. And I have to have a hysterectomy, and they have to cut all my stomach muscles, and I won't be able to keep my figure, and, you know, I won't be able to have a normal relationship with a man folk for the rest of my life. And it just made me think, you know, what I'm getting up to with the story. I know it's a little long, but like that dude who looked like Adolf Eichmann, the bony little man, he looked really harmless, but that guy was a real son of a bitch. I wanted to turn the car around, go back to that guy's house, and just fucking throw him up and down the stairs a few times, you know? When I was 18, I'm 26 years old, I was born February 13th, 1961, I'm almost 27 years old. And when I was 18 years old, that's about, what, 8 years ago? I became a legal adult in America where I don't have to see my parents anymore, and on my 18th birthday was the last time I saw my father, because he's a racist, he's a sexist, he's a child beater, I'm the only child, and I got the scars to prove it. And so I decided, fuck it, I would never hang out with such an ugly, nasty redneck anyway, why would I do it even if he's my dad? So I said, I bailed on the concept, so to speak. That's a
California.
And so I didn't see his ass for 8 years until this summer. I'm playing in D.C., where I come from and where he lives. And I come out of the dressing room to get my sweatpants to go on and do the rock and roll, party down all night long, cocaine, backstage, mama straight to hell thing. And I turn to the road crew dude. I go, hey, man, where's the keys to the van? And I turn around, and this case of beer hits me right in the stomach. I'm like, oh. And I look up, and it's my dad. And I'm holding this crate of Budweiser. Hey, man, that's for the band. And it was just, it was like being in one of the outtakes of Blue Velvet or something. It was so tripped out. I'm standing there and like, I haven't seen him for 8 years and I haven't heard him for 8 years. I've had a lot of bad dreams about him, but no physical contact. I'm just staring at him and I'm looking at his face and his face is going, and he's talking to me and he's doing the Ronald Reagan thing, like everything is okay, you know. Hey man, you're famous. I go to record stores and I see you and people want to know me because they read about you in the New York Times, man. You're famous and you never came to me for money. Goddamn son, you're a self-made man. And I'm just looking at him going, oh fuck. Get me out of here. And he's got these two fat drunk women with him. I go, what's that? He goes, these are my two friends. I want you to meet them. And they're both drunk and like, your father's a wonderful man. I said, lady, don't touch me, man. You know, I'll clip you. Don't touch me. And so he goes on and I can't even find words to talk to him, you know. And he just keeps on going, yeah, you never come to me for money and you're looking good. And I'm just like standing there going, listen to his mouth. And he's asking me these questions, and I'm not even answering. I'm just staring at him like this. I got my fist like that, because I'm really contemplating that big broken nose thing I've been dreaming of for like 8 years. He had his nose broken 13 times, because he's a real badass, and he plays hockey and all this shit, and his nose like this. And whenever you get mad, like in a traffic jam, when some racial minority would cut him off, there's never a white dude, unless it was a hippie. It was always some Spade or Marvin food stamp, you know. And he'd go, hey, you know, roll down your window, kid. And I'd be like 7 years old, just like, oh, fuck, here we go again. Roll down the window, slide down, driving, beer between his legs. Big American Buick. Hey! It's like some, you know, Chinese man who accidentally, like, went into his lane. Hey, you fucking chink! Hey! Fuck you! The guy nearly dumps on the side of the highway. I'm going, oh my God. And I'm remembering all this stuff. And he keeps talking, and I keep standing there. And like, all my friends who I know from D.C., like my pal Ian, and some of the road crew, and all these people who recognize my dad, are all going, man, I haven't seen him in 8 years. And they're all just coming around looking at him, going, wow, man, Rollins must be tripping out. And then after that, I go, yeah, I gotta go warm up, man. I gotta go. So I just bail and I walk out of there. And then my mom comes up, and they haven't been in the same place, you know, probably for about 15 years. And my mom is all est happy, you know, oh, be here with me now, son. Everything, we're gonna wipe out world hunger. Everything's gonna be beautiful, man. And I'm like, yeah, fuck you. I love to bum her out. She's so easy to bum out. Henry, I'm part of the Green Earth Concept Party, and we're gonna just clean up all this bad, bad vibes. I'm like, yeah, fucking kill yourself first, you know. And she starts crying. I get that you don't like me. That's what I'm getting. I'm getting that you're not being here with me now. Fuck you. I love you dearly, Mom. She was here the other night. She was standing over there. I was waving at her, you know. Little ball shot. Yeah. No, I never do that to Mom. I felt her up once when we were, she and I were, she and I were in Turkey, Istanbul, and we were drinking this wine when I was like 12 years old. I was all fucked up, and I caught the feel off my mom. And we're like, I went, eh. I saw it in the Woody Allen movie. I saw it in Bananas. So I figured out where I go, got on it, you know. She was not into it. So I'm right about to go on stage. My mom comes up with her groovy, you know, husband, Les, who's a really cool guy. Les, the fucking Titanic just sank. A whole bunch of people died.
far out.
He's like so cool and calm. He's a great guy. I go, man, is she who's here? And she goes, yeah, isn't it far out? I said, oh, God. So now I hate both of them. Now I see my mom. It's like, how you doing? You know, I treat her like my roommate. I can't stand either one of them. But isn't that a bummer? I don't want to get into a bummer trip with you guys. We don't have hardly any time. God damn it, man. I usually have to do this for a couple hours, you know, do the full thing, but we got to cut it off in about 20 minutes. But anyway, I took all these backstage dialogues from like 6 years of, like, you know, rock and roll party, cocaine, all night long, rock and roll trip to hell, you know. Okay, most of the girls who come backstage at one of our shows is like, you know, hold on a minute, I've been running sore. I really like the band. Like my leather shorts. Want a tattoo?
No, thank you.
Want a cigar?
No, thank you.
You want to fuck?
No, no.
I just took some dialogues and I kind of blended them into one thing. So I'm going to do my girl voice and my Rollins voice, okay? And girls, don't get offended when I do the girl voice.
Do you have a penis?
Yeah?
Sexist.
That's how it is here with you girls. I can't help myself. I see pretty girls, I stare at them. And then, like, everyone, sexist,
Have you ever had an erection?
Well, yeah.
Oh, my God. Oh, God. I listen to Smith's records, and I know he doesn't get them. Oh, man, I stuck a cord. Right on, man. I fucking gushed to nerve. I was in Redding the other day hanging out with my friend Stacy, and all the girls looked so sad, and it's like, and I think it's Morrissey damage, I really do. Part of which, they put out so many records that you people keep buying because you're so sadomasochistic. Let's put on this record, oh, I don't care about anything. Oh, I don't fuck, I don't eat. Heart, and then the band goes and breaks up, so now it's legend. This pessimistic, limp dick attitude. We just limp through life, just like, oh, I'll just have to wait until the next PM session. Now it's become a cool. Like, girl, how come there's no color in your cheeks? I don't bleed anymore. All my blood just runs out of me. Every time I buy the 12-inch with the unreleased Nissan. But you're a sexist. Okay, so here's my little dance, okay? I'll do my little dance. Okay, forget it. I thought you were really great tonight. All right, thanks. You're very intense. Okay. I love the way you move up there. All right. Are you in a bad mood or something?
No. I'm a little worn out, you know.
You look mad.
I'm not mad. You don't like talking much to girls, do you? I got no problem with girls.
Well, I just wanted to say that I thought you were real good, and that's all. I'm not some kind of groupie, you know. You probably get all these girls that are coming up to you trying to fuck you. Well, I'm not one of those, believe me. I don't find you attractive. I just like what you do, that's all, okay? Just because I'm a girl, it doesn't mean I automatically want to fuck you because you're in a band. I said, okay, that's good. Right on. You know, I'm glad you had a cool time. All right. So where are you going after the show? To sleep. Where? I don't know, probably on someone's floor somewhere. I'm not a groupie, you know. I believe you. I really, really believe you. I mean, I don't really even like you. I don't even know why I'm back here. It's my friend who really wants to meet you. Not me. She's too afraid to come back here. You want to meet her? She's the one who got me to come to your show. I never even heard of you before. Well, look, I'm kind of tired. I'm just going to sit here. But you tell her I said a big hello. Can I have a handshake? I know, girls probably want to kiss you, but I don't want you to kiss me. I just want you to shake my hand, and that's it, okay?
Sure, put her there, partner.
You're weird. Are those tattoos real?
Hell no. I didn't think so. Well, you thought right. I can't fool everybody, that's for sure. Yeah, well, it didn't fool me. I'm leaving now. Have a nice trip home. Okay. Here's this thing. Ah, come on. Put them in your pants and do more good there. God, fuck, after Lydia got done with you guys tonight, I didn't think there'd be anything left. You come out here and everyone's hair is all slicked back and slobber and shit. This is this little thing called birthday. And this gets you, honey. Okay, here we go.
Sexiest?
All right, this thing called birthday. Just imagine it's like a scene out of the Flintstones. We're in this room. Not a nice room. More like a room you wait to get the hell out of. There was a light screwed into the ceiling and it stared down and burned my eyes and made her skin look like fake leather. The room was hot. Not hot like in summertime, but fake hot. Hot from the heater that was off in the corner. Heat that makes your nose feel like it's gonna crack off. The windows were dirty. We were locked in a dry, greasy cell, the two of us. We looked ugly to each other and we knew it. She said, "It's your birthday, you know." I said, "I knew that, and so what?" She said, "Birthdays are special when you get presents." I said, "I knew that too, big deal." She said, "I'll suck your dick for your birthday." "No, I don't suck dick, I think it's sick. Just the thought of that fucking thing in my mouth makes me want to vomit. Christ, it makes me sick, but it's your birthday, so I'll suck your goddamn dick. Pull it out and I'll do it." So she pulls up this trash can next to my leg and I ask what the hell that's for, and she said it's for she threw up in the middle, and also, when the stuff came out, she was gonna spit it in the can. There is no way she was gonna swallow that. She said that she might even spit it in my face if I tried to stick it too far down her throat, and I didn't want to do it. And she said, "Why the hell not? Why don't you want your goddamn dick sucked? I said I'd do it." And I said she made me feel more ugly and worthless than I ever felt in my whole life, and I just wanted to get the hell out of there, and why was she so damn mean? She said, "Since when is sucking dick a mean thing? Christ, I offer to put that monstrosity, that ugly, dirty, fucked up thing in my mouth, and you're telling me I'm mean. Come on, let's go." She slapped my leg. "Come on, birthday boy, pull that thing out, let's see it. I want to see that weenie, come on, let's see that goddamn thing." And I just sat there looking down at the floor with my hands between my legs, and I felt like shit. I felt real bad. There's no place I could go. She starts running around the room yelling a bunch of shit to me, telling me that I fucked bad and I had a small dick. She called me toothpick. She said, "Come on, let's see that little toothpick. Where is it? Come on, little toothpick man. Where's the little toothpick man? I bet it's so small, you can't even find it." What a horrible experience. I thought that stuff was supposed to be fun. I don't even remember anymore. I'm too busy with Woody Allen in the men's room. I got time for like a couple more lies. Lies. Anecdotes. Anyway, this summer, I was down south in America. Not South America. Down south in America. And we were playing rock and roll band across the nation. Yeah. And every time we pass through this town, there's this girl who usually comes to the shows and she hangs out. And she's a stripper. And she has like everything I like in a woman. She is intelligent. She is very, very quick-witted. She is foul-mouthed. She is self-willed. She is strong. And she is anatomically structured. She is perfect. Like, she teaches jazz aerobics. She is totally tight. She fits. She looks like Tarzan, but with breasts. And she takes no shit from guys. And she is beautiful. She's awesome. And she, you know, she always wants to tell me all these stories, you know, like, "Ah, God, man, this guy, I'm dancing on his table, you know, and I got my legs spread and I'm doing my thing, you know, he starts reaching his hand up, I took my high heel, I put it out right in his fucking eye, man." And I said, "Oh, well, yeah, sure enough, that's what I would have done, that's what I did last week when I was doing it, you know." And then she starts telling me about all the times that she fucks with guys for no reason, just because she hates men so much. And then, you know, I'm hearing these stories, you know, I saw her like three times in like a year and a half, just by circling around the U.S. on tour so much. And I hear she writes me these letters how much she likes me, and, you know, yeah, I want to see you over the last next time you come through my town. I'm like, oh, okay. So I come through this summer, and we play the set, and after the show, we're all, you know, crawling off stage, and there's this girl who none of the other cats in the band have ever seen, and she's like in her this black dress with this corsage, platinum blonde, tan, in black, with black high heels and black stockings, and she's like holding her car keys at me, and I'm going like, let's go. I'm like, shit. I was like, kind of scared, you know? And because she tells all these stories about, I'm not scared she's going to rip my balls off and shove them down my throat, you know, I'm not worried about that so much. But, you know, she's telling me all these vile stories about how she's fucking with guys, and all she has to do is, like, snap her fingers and point at a guy, and the bouncer will take the guy out and, like, beat the shit out of him, punch his face into the wall. And we're talking about Atlanta, Georgia, where people are extremely violent. That's where all the white power parties are and KKK, and people don't fuck around there. I mean, it's very violent, very dangerous, very stupid, bad, and backwards-minded. I mean, you know, it's bad, but it's a fun place to play when the right people are there. I mean, you can find cool people anywhere you go, right? But anyway, so I'm remembering all these stories, and we get to her house, and she's telling me all the way home to her house, her condo. She makes all this money. She makes like $800 a night dancing, because all these high-class dudes come in and flip all this money at her, because she's really hotsy-totsy. So we get to her waterbed, and I'm kind of sitting there. I feel like a John, you know? Because all she does is run down guys the whole time, you know. These guys are all assholes, but you're different. Like, I got one too, probably smaller than most. How am I any different, you know? So I'm sitting on the bed. She goes, you wait there. I'm like, okay. And I go, by the way, I have a question. How old are you? 19. I'm like, fuck. She's like hard as rock at age 19. Which made me think, God damn, man, you better get out of this business, because on account of when you turn 22, you're going to be very, very fucked up in your head. But anyway, she comes into the room with these panties on and this t-shirt cut off to here. And I'm like, okay. And I was afraid to even touch her. And it's this amazingly, perfectly gorgeous woman. I mean, unbelievable. And she pulls her top off. She goes, see these? Two of the stripper girlfriends took me down to the plastic surgeon so I could show them these, because this is what they wanted. I'm like, oh, they're very nice. I'm sure. And finally, we get to, you know, rolling around on the mattress there, and she's telling me the details about her body. This kneecap is, like, you know, hydraulically washed every 5 days. It's like she's bionic. I looked at her muff, you know, the vagina part, and I said, any switches on this? Does it have any gears or air conditioning? Or does it do any other handy household chores? And it was very, very hard to be with this girl. On account of it made me feel extremely old, because I'm 26 years old. I felt like I was 87 years old, man, with this 19-year-old girl who is totally beyond. I go, what do you want with me, man? You could scam on some young man, fucking tear your ass to pieces. What do you want with me? You know, I felt really old. I never felt that old before in my whole life. I felt like a piece of shit. And I couldn't even put my hands on her. I felt so weird and so bad. And I said, I want to tell you that you're beautiful, but you hear that every day. What does it matter if I tell you that? Who gives a shit? And she's trying to tell me, oh, you're different. Those guys are assholes. While she's fondling my dick. Those guys are different. You know, you're their asshole, but you're okay. I'm like, I'm okay. But it was really weird. And the next day, she's in love with me, and she wants to come with me down to Athens, Georgia, to the show down there. I said, oh, you can't stay home, you know, I gotta go. And she comes on down, and she doesn't wear any clothes underneath this dress. And so we're walking around Athens, where Michael Stipe comes from. And everyone in Athens is very, very nice. They're very much like Michael. They're all kind of sleepy and very gentle and very, 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 very cool people down there. And there's a few of the college jock guys walking by, this bald dude with tattoos and this, like, bionic woman. And we're walking up to the record store, and, like, this slob with a backpack, and she's like... And these guys walk by, and they check her out. And she goes, hey, fellas. And they turn around. She lifts up her dress, nothing on underneath, and does this stunning scissor kick, like June, like Bruce Lee or something, like this, and she goes, you know, woo! And these guys go like, shit! I said, God damn, man, it was like the coolest thing I'd ever seen. Until this next thing. But guys, girls, you ever felt that, like, you want to be with someone very closely, but they put so much away from you, so much distance with what they say and how they move, that the closer you get, the farther away you feel. You know how that is? How you can be with a girl or a guy or a goat or whatever. Sheep, this is English. Yeah. And the closer you get, the farther away you feel. And that happens to me a lot with my futile relationships with women. You know, you get close and then you can just see where you can look in their eyes and see where it ends and see where it all turns into bullshit and lies and lying to yourself, and she can see it, and you both live this lie for as long as it lasts. And it depresses me because I see through it and I refuse to dance with that lie anymore. And it's made it very, 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 very hard. What makes it hard in other times, like in the men's room? I'm trying to find my thing about, I have some notes about whores, and I don't want you to take this wrong. I love the word whore. I don't like using the word hooker. I don't like using the word lady of the evening, because to me, the concept of the whore just thoroughly and destructively annihilates all ladies of the evening and all the charm. It's just so... the signal is so pure and so clean and so direct that you can't deny it. You know, it's for sale, you want it, she knows what you want to do with it, and you can pay and you can get it, and then you split. And I think in a way that's very, very cool. As in, no lies, no head trips, here it is, pay and you got it for a little while. And that's cool. So I was in Austria a few weeks ago, and in America, there's a lot of whores on the streets in bad parts of town, and they all look, you know, and they're really, really hellacious looking. These Austrian whores by the train station, I was walking around, we were in this bad district staying overnight, and I just walked around because I like to look at them, because they're so fucking tough. And I love women who can stand up and just not take shit, because so many women just get battered, battered, battered all their lives by their husbands, their boyfriends, their kids, their employers, themselves, their parents, their mothers, their grandmothers, and everything just puts them down. And to me, a lot of times, the whore really goes, fuck you. And I really dig when women, oh yeah, I'm not running for president, but you all know what I mean. There is a certain allure to some woman who goes, yeah, I got it, you son of a bitch. Cough it up. I mean, that's just, it blew me away. So anyway, I'm walking home from the train station, and there I walk by this woman. She is unbelievably beautiful. Spandex pants, panties on the outside, like a tank top, spandex, nipples straight out, blonde hair, beautiful face, cigarette, sunglasses, Walkman headphones on, like this. Up against the wall, and I just walked by and went, wow, man, that is fucking poetry in motion. What fucking, I just want to kiss her feet. I just want to say hi. I don't want any. I just think you're fucking cool. But she probably went, you know. So anyway, I walked by her, and I really was so impressed by her. I just had to kind of sit in the doorway and just check her out for a while, because she's so beautiful. Just checking her out, and it was really great. She's taller than me. She was about 6'1". Beautiful woman. And these three Oriental businessmen, obviously, you know, flown in, Air Japan, you know, want boom boom, get taken down to way away from their hotel, down in the Packy district where all the hookers and the train station and all the scum is. So they all come around her, like these three little men, with ties and glasses and very well-to-do, and they're like... And they're all investigating her! And she's like, the big woman, and they're like, you three little guys, just like all kind of checking her out. They all kind of come up to here, and they kind of look at her, and they're like, they're nipple level, and they're like, hmm, and then I confer, and they go like, oh, well, what do you think? I don't know. Okay, well, hold on a minute.
And one guy goes up and negotiates, and he goes back to the party.
Oh, fuck, yeah, I don't know, she'll do the three of us. I don't know, around the world? I don't know.
And then they all come back, and they're inspecting the goods. So crass, like... what if I did that to you? You kicked me in the balls, I hope, okay? This woman is just like this, smoking the cigarette, playing probably one of my records. Staring straight across the street like they don't even exist. And they chickened out. And I wrote a dialogue that I tried to imagine. Close your eyes and rock with me, man.
Oh, baby. You gotta be good to your man. He works so hard for you, baby. All day long he's out there with the boss, dragging his ass all over, and he comes home from work with his nose stinking as shit from cramming it so far up the boss's ass to bring home the bacon for you, baby. That's your job. You gotta make him feel good. He wants to come home. He wants to call you baby. Mama. It's your job. You gotta make him feel good. You know how to do it. Use your mouth. Put your arms around him. Look into his eyes. Take him into the bedroom. Lay him down. And now you're doing it. Now you're making him feel good. Because that's your job, to make him feel good. And you're using your mouth, and you're making him feel good. Listen to his breathing. In. Out. In. Yeah, he's patting you on your head and calling you baby. Reach up slowly, careful, up higher, higher. Get the knife.
Get a glass of water. Wash that shit out of your mouth. Cut it off. The whole thing. Do it tonight. Put it in an envelope. Send it to me. Rollins, P.O. Box 24600, Dallas Beach, California, 90378 USA. Do it tonight. Men are pigs. Yeah.
Ladies, no one understands you like I do.
On behalf of Jeffrey, Lydia, and Mr. Emilio, and myself, thanks for coming down. And at some point, someday, I'll try and come back here, and maybe we can go a bit longer, because, you know, we were having a cool time. I like to keep it going, but... we're out of time, so see y'all around, all right?